Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. If you got your Bibles this morning and you want to turn to, we're going to look at several different passages this morning, so it may be easier if you follow along on the screen. We're going to look at a couple, passage in Genesis and Revelation, and then about four from Paul, in one in Philippians, one in Ephesians, one in Colossians, and one in 1 Thessalonians. So we're going to be touring the Scriptures this morning. Next week, we will be talking about the model prayer. Today, we're starting a series on prayer, and so next week, we'll be looking at the model prayer, and then the week after that, we're going to be looking at what I'm going to call the not model prayer. And so we'll kind of get both ends of the spectrum. So obviously the model prayer will be kind of a model for how we should pray, and the not model prayer will be how we should not pray. All right? So today we're going to kind of give a general overview of, hey, what is prayer? What is it about? And we're going to kind of answer some questions around those things. So I don't know about you. Your experience growing up may be different from mine, and that's okay, because we're going to talk about prayer today. Prayer has always been in and around my life in some form or fashion. I remember as a kid not being able to eat until somebody said the blessing, right? And you couldn't go to bed before you said bedtime prayers, right? I remember pastors praying, and I met a gentleman that I hadn't seen in probably a decade. He prayed regularly at church. You know, the pastor would call on somebody and pray, much like I do at the end of the service. And Mr. Ed, he would pray. And I was like, man, he just had a really good voice, right? Praying voice, like a good sounding voice. And so he would pray, and it'd be cool. I remember, Sunday school teachers would pray before we'd leave the class or before we would begin, or sometimes both. And then one time in church, when I was a teenager, the pastor called on me to pray at Sunday night church. And I was like, Lord, thank you for this night. Amen. You know, it was like, I was like, So it really caught me off guard. But my parents prayed regularly. They taught me how to pray. I remember going to my grandmother's house, and my granddad would pray, and my grandmother would pray. And so prayer has always been in and around my life. I remember when I was a kid going to the football games, and the football team even prayed before the game. And I remember going to a basketball game as an adult. This funny story, actually. Really funny story. Seems appropriate to tell since we're talking about prayer. So went to this basketball game. It was Holly and I. We were just married. My first church as the pastor, right? I've been a youth pastor for 4 years. So we go to this private school basketball game. Basketball game, not basketball practice. That's important for the story. Basketball game, that means we're at home, and there's the home team fans, and then there's the other team's people, players, and fans, right? Okay, y'all got the scenario? It's really important. It's like senior night, so we're recognizing all of our seniors. And so they, since it's a private school, like you can pray openly, you know, not generic prayers, but like real prayers, you know. And so the guy gets over the speaker and he prays. And at the very end of his prayer, he says, "And Lord, when I think of senior night, I think of a win. Lord, help us to win this game." And cackles of laughter, including from myself and Holly, go through the whole building, right? Because like moms and dads of the other players are sitting right there, bud. Like, just pray for everybody's safety and, you know, quietly in your heart, pray for a win. But no, he let it out. Pray for a win. That funniest prayer I think I've ever heard, right? I watched this movie. My dad made me watch, you know, all the old westerns and all that. And one Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, you know, that was back in the Stone Age when you didn't really have nothing on cable. You had like four, we had four channels. And that movie Patton came on. And my dad was like, "We're watching this." And I'm like, ugh. General Patton even got his chaplain for the Third Army to write a weather prayer. Yes, a weather prayer, so that the weather would clear up so that they could beat the Germans in the Battle of the Bulge, right? Prayer, all over the place, all over the time. You can turn on any social media site, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You will find somebody praying if you search somewhere. Now, are they all Christian prayers? Maybe, maybe not, right? That's kind of what we want to talk about starting today. But prayer is all over the world, at any time, at any moment, probably 365 days of the year, 24 hours in every day. Somebody somewhere is praying. So it seems right that we talk about prayer. In kind of doing some background research for this series, I found some interesting facts on prayer. They're in your sermon outline, but I want to talk about them today. Prayer, the word pray, occurs 94 times in the English Bible, or in the version that I use, ESV, 94 times. The word prayed, so adding ED, 56 times. Praying, 23 times. And prayer, with ER, 114 times. If you do the math, it's around 280 times in the Bible, some version of the word pray is used. And that does not account for times when people say they spoke to the Lord or called on the name of the Lord. That doesn't even include those kind of phrasings. Just the word prayer is used around 280 times. The first mention of prayer, we've got this verse on the screen, is in Genesis 4:26. Let's read it together. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And here it is. And at that time people began to call upon the name of the Lord. The last prayer is in the last book of the Bible, not the last verse, but really close. It's in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. And here's the prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. See it right there at the end? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That's the prayer. Last prayer of the Bible, first prayer of the Bible. So from Genesis to Revelation, prayers are prayed throughout the Bible. Longest prayer in the Bible, we're not going to read all of it this morning, you can go back and read it, is in Nehemiah 9, 5 through 38. The longest prayer in the New Testament is by Jesus, and it's in John 17, 1 through 26. The shortest prayer in the Bible, this is a good Bible trivia question, okay? Shortest prayer in the Bible, Psalm 119, 86. It's two words. You ready? Help me. Help me. Author by the last name of Kohler, in his book, Old Testament Theology, listen to this, this is fascinating, finds 85 original prayers in the Old Testament, 60 whole psalms that are prayers, and 14 parts of psalms that are prayers. Prayer is mentioned, or prayers are recorded, in every book of the Bible except for four. Leviticus, Obadiah, Nahum, and 3 John. And while prayer is not mentioned directly in Zephaniah, Haggai, and Esther, it is certainly implied. So what does that tell us? We don't even have to go any further, but we can make several observations. Prayers can be long. Prayers can be short. Prayers can be poems. They can be said at all certain circumstances. They can be this type or that type, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But prayer is what one author called the native air of Christians. What does that mean? It means prayer is so essential to the Christian life that it should be like breath that we breathe. Just as our bodies need air to live, so our spiritual lives need prayer to live. Prayers can be long, they can be short. They can be in any experience throughout life, and prayer covers a wide variety of different seasons of life. And we'll look at a few of those in just a minute. So I love a good definition. Y'all know that? If you've been here for any length of time, I love a good definition. So I looked up some definitions of prayer, and we're going to talk about some really long ones, and I'm going to give you a really, really short one that you can remember really easily. Okay? So here's some definitions. The New Bible Dictionary, here's how it defines prayer. Prayer is worship that includes all the attitudes of the human spirit, its approach of the human spirit in its approach to God. The Christian worships when he adores, confesses, praises, and supplicates in prayer. Erdman's Bible Dictionary says it this way. Prayer is any form of communication with God on the part of the believing people in response to situations. Oxford said it's a solemn request for help or expressions of thanks addressed to God. But I personally like two better than these. And they're almost identical in their definition. One is from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and one is from Wayne Grudem in his book, Bible Doctrines. Here's their definition of prayer. Prayer is personal, spiritual communication from us to God. But we can do even a little bit better than that. We can make it personal. Prayer, so if you ask me, what is prayer? Preacher, what is prayer? Prayer is personal spiritual communication from me to God. But we can make it even a little bit better. And this is the definition. If you got a child in your life, grandchild, great-grandchild, niece, nephew, when they ask you what prayer is you ready for, it's real simple, easy to remember. Prayer is talking to God. So I'm just going to go ahead and squash this bug right now. Okay, I was going to save it, but I feel like it. I won't ask you to raise your hand because everybody's going to raise their hand. But if I were to say, raise your hand if you can talk. Okay, the babies can, so. Can you have a conversation? Guess what? You can pray. There's no magic dust. You know, preachers, when we get ordained, you will not see this when we ordain Pastor Logan. We don't give him a little magic box of prayer fairy dust that, you know, he sprinkles on, you know, his prayers and you just don't see it. Like, we don't get that, right? If you can talk, and even if you can't, the Bible even says, this is not in our notes, it's not there, the Bible even says that the Spirit on our behalf, when we can't even utter words, we just groan, prays, and offers words to God on our behalf. So whether we can communicate verbally or not, as long as we can communicate, we can pray. So, preacher, I don't know what to pray. Just talk to the Lord like you talk to your wife. Well, talk to the Lord like you talk to your friend. You know what I mean, right? Talk to the Lord like you talk in everyday life. So it's not surprising that when we read through the Bible, we see all of these types and ideas of prayer. And what we see in Paul, and we're going to look at Paul next, is we see that prayer is daily. It is ongoing. It is sometimes hourly and sometimes minute by minute endeavor. Listen to me. I've prayed a lot through life. I don't know if I've ever prayed minute by minute, but I know there's one time I did. One time. It was between the hours of 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. About 30-ish years ago. Yeah, almost 30 years ago. I was in the 10th grade. I tore my ACL. I had surgery at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And the following night, between 2 and 3, I literally prayed about every minute. You want to know why? It was the worst pain I've ever been through in my life. They gave me this little morphine pump, right? And I could press it every 10 minutes. And mom and dad had this really old vintage alarm clock, stereo, radio thing that sat on the nightstand, and I watched that analog green thing and waited and counted the minutes down and prayed and counted. And it did nothing. And then finally at 3 o'clock, it eased off and I fell asleep. But that's the way life is. Sometimes prayer is minute by minute. Sometimes it's day by day. Right? You don't think so? Let's listen to Paul. Here's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Now look at this last part, okay? This is crucial. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Listen to me. Have you ever wondered, what is God's will for my life? Rejoice, pray, give thanks. If you don't know what else to do in life, rejoice, pray, give thanks. Right? Let's keep on going. In Ephesians 6:18, here's what Paul says. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. He goes on. Philippians 5:6, do not be anxious about what? Let's try that again. Do not be anxious about, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Right? In other words, this is free. You anxious about something? pray. Right? Don't be answering. But in everything, prayer. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. What are we can conclude in these just four, five, six verses? We should be praying at all times about everything. Right? So it is no surprise that when we look through the Scriptures, we see such a diversity of different types of prayers in the Scriptures. Now, this is not to be meant to be an exhaustive list. It's just some ideas, okay? For example, when we turn the pages of the Bible, we see prayers of adoration or praise. These are prayers that are given based off of who God is. It is praying about God's character, right? Oftentimes, it is coupled with the second thing that is on your list, which is prayers of thanksgiving. Which the slight difference is, adoration is prayers regarding God's character, who God is. Thanksgiving is prayers regarding God's action. So God, I thank you that you are so gracious and you help me in blank situation. Right? That's a prayer of adoration and a prayer of thanksgiving. Right? Those are both examples. Confession, as you might expect, confession is a prayer acknowledging our sin to God and asking Him to forgive us. Intercession, a prayer of intercession is when you pray on someone else's behalf. Right, so if someone says, I'm gonna give you a pro tip about praying in just a second around this. Somebody says, Hey, will you pray for me about blank? When you do that, I hope you do that. When you do that, that's a prayer of intercession. Now, here's the pro tip. You ready? It's real simple. You're gonna go, I can do that. When someone asks you, I've tried to get better about this over the last several years. When someone says, hey, can you pray for me? Do it right then. Right then. You want to know why? We are prone to forget. We don't mean to. Like, we really want to pray for that person. But life happens, and we got to get dinner ready, and, you know, the kid's in bed, and then we fall asleep, and you wake up the next day, and you're like, right? Pro tip, do it right then. Right? Do it right then. Hey, can you pray for me? Yeah, let's do it right now. Right? All right, that's prayer of intercession. Petition. A petition is a prayer making a request about something specific to the Lord. Prayers of justice. These are prayers about bringing God's justice to bear on a specific situation. And then one of the most overlooked or least talked about is a prayer of lament. However, it is greatly used in the Psalms. A prayer of lament is a prayer revolving our fears, doubts, despair, heartache, sorrow, and trouble to the Lord. Right? It's in the not fun times of life. That's a prayer of lament, of sorrow, of woe. Right? So, that's a variety of prayers. So, here's the point. Prayer should be done when? All times. Around all circumstances and in all seasons of life. Right, now I want to spend the rest of our time answering this last question, okay? And it's a big one. And you're going to be shocked. The Bible has a lot to say about part of it and nothing to say, really, about another part of it. All right? So here's the question. So we've talked about kind of a definition of prayer. When do we pray? At any season of life, at any time, all the time. Right? So here's the last question. Listen, how do we pray? Now, there's several different ways we can define that question, right? So if you were to ask me, how do I pray? Well, my next question is going to be, well, what do you mean by that question? How do I pray? Well, like, what do I say? If you're asking me, how do I pray? And the question behind the question is, well, what do I say? Then the answer is, can you talk? Can you have conversation? That's how you pray. Right? That's how you form the sentences. When you move your mouth and you talk, does stuff come out? Hey, look, if you can sign, if you understand language in any way, shape, or form, you can pray. Right? So if we're asking, how do I pray? In other words, like, what do I say? As long as we can communicate in any way, shape, or form, we can pray. But if you're asking, how do I pray? In the sense of, what posture in prayer do I need? The Bible has a lot to say about that, and then not a lot to say about that. All right, let me explain. When we talk about the posture of prayer, we might be inclined to say, for example, this is a case study in and of itself. If I were to ask you, what is the appropriate physical posture for prayer in church? The answer unanimously is heads bowed and eyes closed. Right? You've already done it today. I've done it. When we get ready to go into the invitation time and I say, let's pray, I don't even have to tell you what to do with your body. You are going to do this. Right? Because when you were little, your mom or dad like pinched you when you were like doing all that. You just kind of instinctively learned that the appropriate posture for prayer is head bows and eyes closed. Did you know that is nowhere in the Bible? Nowhere. Right? So what we think is law, according to prayer, is simply a very recent addition to what prayer should look like in a social gathering. In fact, the Bible has a wide diversity of manners of physical posture in which people can pray. Let me give you a few. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple, knelt when he prayed. Moses, in Exodus, at Mount Sinai, laid prostrate, like full laid out on the ground when he prayed. Jesus raised his eyes. He prayed like this, potentially with his eyes open. Sacrilege. Paul tells Timothy to lift up his hands. Maybe the Pentecostals are onto something. Right? He says, pray like this. Hannah, when we went through 1 Samuel, remember, how did Hannah pray? She prayed with her mouth moving, but no sound coming out. Hence, the priest thought she was a drunkard. She was praying in silence, right? Then Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says of Jesus that he prayed with loud cries and tears. There is no commandment on the physical posture of prayer. What does that tell us? Pray however you want to. Stand up, sit down, lay on your back, lay on your stomach. Run around, dance, sing. The Psalms are songs. You know that, right? The Psalms are songs, right? Sing, pray. I got this great book. Now, I'm going to give you the name of the book, but I'm going to warn you about the book up front, okay? So the book is called Pray Like a Gourmet. So the book is about praying, but it's about diversity in how we pray, okay? Now, here's the warning about the book. The book's different, okay? It's written by clearly a person who is like English language arts minded and not a math science minded. Was that left brain, right brain? It's one of them too. And so the book is like colorful. It's not just words. There's like watercolor paintings in the book. And he was a missionary in South America. And if you've ever been to South America, great people. They just kind of work on a little bit different schedule. There is none. It's like we show up when we show up, right? And so he comes from that culture when he writes this book. And it's very apparent. Listen. Wonderful book. It helped me realize prayer doesn't have to be always the same way, day after day, day after day, day after day, day after day. Prayer during the week for me doesn't have to be when I'm taking a shower, when I first get up, when I'm in my office, right after I read my Bible, before meals, and at some other points during the day. So during that season of life, when I was reading this book, I was reading in my personal devotional time, I was reading through Psalms. And so there were a couple days here and there that after I would read the Psalm, the way I prayed was I drew a picture, right? And so I found those this week as I was doing this. And so like I was reading one and it was like Psalm 16:11 and I drew this, it's talking about, I think that one's about a path. And so like I drew a bunch of little trees and had a hand because 16:11, let's just, hey, we got it right here. We can do this, right? 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So I drew a little picture of that, and that was my prayer. Another time I drew one of like grapevines because that was what Psalm 80 was about or whatever, right? And guess what? That's okay. You want to know why? Because Jesus doesn't say, "Thou shalt only pray this way." He doesn't say that. So you have creativity abounds in how you want to pray. Write a song. Write a poem. Paint. Draw. Pray words. Sing it. Lay down. Lay on your back. Pray before bed. Pray when you get up. Pray in the shower. Pray. There you go. Right there. There you go. See? Good job, Ren. Good job. There it is. The one I just read. Right there. Right? You can pray in a diversity of ways about a diversity of things in your life. Right? When do we pray? At all times, about all things. How do we pray? Physical posture? Go for it. There is no right or wrong way to do it. Now, so the Bible says little about the physical posture of prayer. But over here, the Bible says a lot about the posture of our heart when we pray. Because see, listen to me. God's more worried about what's going on inside of you than whether you're praying like this, or laid out on the ground. So the Bible is very specific about the posture of our hearts when we pray. And we don't have time to go into great detail about it this morning. I just want to touch it this morning. All right? Here's what the Bible says when it speaks about the posture of our hearts. The Bible says that prayer, acceptable prayer, must be sincere, offered with reverence and godly fear. But more importantly, and we're going to look at three or four verses from James chapter 1. Prayer must be offered in faith that God is who He says He is, that He is the hearer of our prayers and the answerer of those prayers. Faith must be accompanying every prayer that we pray. All right, let's read James 1, 5 through 8. All right, here we go. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who generously gives to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." What is that? That's a prayer. "But let him ask in faith." Now, James is going to tell you what a non-faith asking prayer looks like. "Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." Verse 7. "For that person," who is that person? The person who prays with doubts, "must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Uh-oh. "He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." What is James saying? Very quickly, James is saying that when we pray, we must pray in faith that God is, that He's going to hear our prayers, and that He's going to answer our prayers. Now, notice that James did not say, God's going to answer my prayers in the way I want God to answer my prayers, when I want Him to answer my prayers today. Did he say that? Didn't say that, right? Prayer must be accompanied by faith that God is, right? Because I'm just going to kind of throw this out there real quickly. What's the difference in Christian, what makes Christian prayer Christian? Who you praying to? That's the answer. Who you praying to, right? So if you're going to pray to God, pretty good to believe that He is creator of the world, God of the universe, Father of Jesus, all the things the Bible says He is, and that He is going to hear you when you pray, and that He is going to answer your prayer in some way, shape, or form. Listen, for His glory and your good. His glory, your good. May not be the exact answer you wanted it, when you wanted it, and how you wanted it. Right? So, all right, let's recap. When do we pray? All the time, about all things, at any time. How do we pray? Talk. Talk. Use your words. How do we pray? Physical posture. However you feel in that moment. How do we pray? Like, tangibly? Write it, sing it, draw it, paint it, speak it. Right? All of that's open. How do we pray from our internally? Reverence. Trust that God is who He says He is. Faith that God is going to hear us and He's going to answer for His glory and our good. So, what is prayer? Well, we're going to answer that question in more detail in the coming weeks. And we're going to do that next week by looking at the model prayer. So be back next week for the model prayer. All right, it's in Matthew chapter 6. If you hadn't read it in a while, let me encourage you to go back and read it. All right, and then the following week, we'll be talking about the not model prayer. But for today, let's recap this message this way. Prayer is personal communication from me to God. Prayer is, you want more simple? Talking to God. Prayer is about all things, at all times, in all circumstances, in a variety of ways. And prayer must be done in faith. All right, so here's your challenge. Here's your challenge this week. All right, you ready? You ready? It's on your outline. If you got a bulletin, it is in there, okay? Here's your challenge this week. We're going to try to come up with some creative prayer challenges for each week, okay? Here's your first one. It's really simple, okay? I promise you can do this. This is like primary school level, okay? We're going to work our way up. This primary school level, K through second grade level here, okay? You ready? Your challenge this week is to pray 2 times a day. If you want to do more, okay? You ready? You're at least pray 2 times a day. Now, here's the catch. Pray 1 time for yourself and then 1 time for somebody else. Now, look, if you got a large family, this is easy. Just pick 1 kid a day and then your favorite twice, right? If you have a spouse and kids, you've got half the week already covered, okay? And if you at least have 1 or 2 friends, you got your whole week. If you don't have any friends, then find somebody you pass in the road who cuts you off and pray for them in the moment, right? No, but seriously, not hard. 2 times a day, pray for yourself, pray for somebody else. You say, well, what do I pray about? Talk. Talk to God. Whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind at that moment. I mean, there's a lot of things you could pray about, right? Whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, because it's just talking to God.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.